Isa, Deacon Zeacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
Father, get me out of the way. It is the celebration of the incarnation of the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to grasp the depth and brevity and astounding awesomeness of this historic event. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow, lots been going on this week. If you're on Facebook, you have lots of opportunities to really be bold about worshiping Jesus. And I'm going to share a little bit later on that. But what an exciting time to point people to Jesus. A little bit beyond just saying, hey, it's the reason for the season. That's a good beginning. But boy, if you really want to have fun, go deep with somebody. Or the best way to describe it is introduce them to Jesus. Because a verse from the Bible, you know how easy it is to cut and paste a verse from a Bible program into your Facebook? It's very, very easy. And let them, in their little hiccups of life, read those verses where it says that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Those verses that are in your face reminding them of who God is. I'm going to explain a little bit later. So let's get right into this. I'm going to start with mentioning something from 1 Peter chapter 2, 6 through 8, a stone in Zion. Because I think this plays a crucial role in who Jesus is, which is cool. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 says this. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. We'll just leave that aside for a minute. Let's move forward. In Luke chapter 1 is one of the primary messages that share the historical event of the birth of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 1, 31 through 33, we read that an angel is telling Mary, and in verse 31 he says this, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Keep that in mind. The Old Testament, if you remember the last 3 weeks, we've been hammering this out. The Old Testament is the most historically accurate book in antiquity. It has been attacked more than any other book in ever history, and everyone agrees that what the Bible says is what it says. They don't necessarily agree with what it says, but they have to agree that what it says is what it says. And now the whole New Testament that our church sprung from is the New Testament, is people trying to tell other people that Jesus the Messiah of the promised Old Testament has arrived. And that's our job. That's our story. That's what we're to continue, what began with the New Testament. And now part of this, the two things I want to bring out, as I've mentioned as well, is that Jesus and Christ, Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's his title. And really, Jesus is Yeshua, which means the Lord saves, and Messiah, which is Christ, Messiah, means the anointed one. So Jesus' entire name is the Lord saves, the anointed one. His name is loaded. Just his name. That's why it has so much power. And that's the only name you can use in a swear word and make things sound worse, because it's the most profound, most powerful name in all of history. And that's why it sounds most horrible and blasphemous when we use it in vain. Let's move a little forward. In Luke chapter 2, 10 through 12, we find this. Now, in this particular case, we know it's the angel, it's the shepherds, they're out in the flock, they're out, you know, in the woods, hanging out with their flocks, and you know, it's nighttime and such. I just want to bring this up because we're going to move forward here to some deeper stuff. But it says this in Luke chapter 2, 10 through 12. This angel appears to these shepherds and says, and the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, if we were speaking Jewish or Hebrew, it would be Messiah the Lord. All right? This is the same thing. So now these Jewish shepherds know, whoa, the Messiah? You mean the whole thing, what the whole Old Testament is written about, the Messiah? And it says in verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a feeding trough in a barn." That's a big sign. Not to mention the sign that glow in the dark, angels are hovering over you, proclaiming the Savior is born. That's a big sign. Big sign. As a matter of fact, the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Why did the angel say, "Don't be afraid"? Because they were afraid. They're terrified. Glow-in-the-dark beings are floating in the sky above my head. That's never happened to me yet. All right, that's pretty scary. Not to mention what he says. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born." Now keep in mind, most of the Jews are confused to what the term Savior means. They think Savior is this awesome, powerful leader in armor who's going to come and smite the Roman armies and lead his people into battle and victory. They didn't understand the term Savior. They didn't understand the suffering servant who had to be first. So anyway, so these big signs, and then you think, if God comes to earth incarnate in a little baby, is the fullness of the Godhead, all right, comes down and you think there might be a little party, and there was. In Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to whom on his favor rests.'" All right, so here's these shepherds. They're scared of one angel, and now the heavens split open, and glory is revealed, and thousands upon thousands of angels proclaim glory to God in the highest. That's amazing. Pretty much a big deal. So, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, because I want to talk about something else here. A story that probably isn't brought up too much about the Christmas story. So in Luke chapter 2, if we go down to verse 25, after Jesus is born, after 7 days, they take him to be dedicated. And for a male child, that means circumcision. So Jesus is going to have a rough day. And that's where it's dedicated to the Lord. The first male child is always dedicated to the Lord. So, and we find in Luke chapter 2, 25, I'm just going to start reading from there. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ." What does Christ mean? Messiah. "Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was custom of the law required. Simon took him in his arms and praised God, saying," listen to this, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, for which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." Whoa, what is he talking about here? A couple of things I want to highlight. What does this mean, this consolation of Israel? And then also, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. The word revelation means to reveal. A mystery that was once kind of shrouded, kind of mysterious in the Old Testament. A lot of these prophecies where the prophet's shouting, "Hey Israel, you're going to get your butt kicked because you ran from God again, but God's going to come back and he's going to heal you all." And in that, these big chapters are snuck in there about this coming Messiah. But for the Gentiles, for us, we didn't know anything about this Old Testament. How many of us are experts at reading our Old Testament? That's what I thought. All right. There's something amazing going on here. Jesus is going to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to the people Israel. Now, what is this consolation of Israel that we're talking about here? In Isaiah 40, 1 through 2. 1 through 2. Isaiah 40, 1 through 2. I'm going to read a little further, but it says this. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This is this consolation. Somebody's coming. Isaiah writes 700 years before Christ. Somebody is coming. And in Isaiah 40 verse 3, it says, a voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now what's cool here in Isaiah 43, which is not up there, 40 verse 3, it says, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord. That's Yahweh. That's Jehovah. Now, Jews don't put all God's name together. They only use the consonants. And that's YHWH, Yahweh. All right, that is the Lord's name. And it says, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, Yahweh, and make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God, Elohim. That's the big super names of God. But I want to point out something to you about this consolation. Comfort. Speak tenderly. Why? Because the sins have been paid for. That's the consolation of Israel. That's the Savior. That's being talked about 700 years before Christ is revealed, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to Simeon, and he sees this newborn baby come in and realizes it is the consolation of Israel. Very powerful. And what's the big deal about this consolation? What's going on here? Why is Jesus the consolation or peace? And in Colossians 1, 13 and 14, here's the big deal. Here's what makes Jesus so amazing. Here's why this baby is born. Of course, we have the starry night cloaking the cross in the background. But the idea is this. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's who this Jesus is. That's why he came, to rescue us from the dominion of darkness. Now, how many of you got friends and family? You tell them Jesus came to rescue from the dominion of darkness, and they're going to go, huh? What? I don't give a rip. I'm not in the darkness. They don't care because their heart's not broken yet. Rub the Ten Commandments in their face for a little while and see how much they like it. So I'm going to get to a little bit to a story here. So on Facebook this week, there was a thread going on of a discussion about how, you know, that big Christmas issue, should you say Happy Holidays or Christmas? And these were all a bunch of West Coast folks who, in their mindset, it's like, yeah, what's the big deal? And they started making jokes about other gods and blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, guess what? I'll show you why you are repulsed by Jesus. And I started putting some Bible verses in there. Bang, bang. How does this make you feel when Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me? Does that give you warm fuzzies, or does it make you mad? And I'm typing this out. And then to one of my friends, I sent a message. Watch how they react. Right? Because he's the one who started the thread. It was my hopes that I could show him, note how their heart reacts. One fella bit his tongue, and he responded very respectfully, but you know what he said? He says, I'm nobody's slave. Oh, my devil. That's exactly what the devil says to God. He's his own God. The devil says, I'll be like the Most High. So did this guy. And then my friend wrote back, and he says, stop proselytizing me. But they don't get it. They're in the darkness. They're in the mire. They're in their sin. And all you got to do, you don't even have to reason with them. You don't have to try to outsmart them. Put a Bible verse in their face, a Jesus verse in their face, and they, oh, the light! Ah! That's literally what their heart does. They might be intellectual about it. They might pretend they're smart and fancy pants, but in their heart they writhe in pain. And that's exactly what happened. And I feel bad for them. So, in Romans, we got this cool stuff going on. Here's the big deal. We have forgiveness of sins. Romans 5:8, for God demonstrates his love for us in this. This is a kicker. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How many folks say, I'll go to church when I get my life straightened out. Then I'll come to church when I'm good enough. You will never be good enough, even if you do come to church. You will never, ever, ever be good enough. Period. Give it up now. That's pretty much what it's saying. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And in verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood. Notice it does not say justified by our good works. Justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? God's wrath? God loves everybody. Not if you're not reconciled to God, because look at verse 10. For if, when we were God's enemies, God has enemies? Yes. Everybody who hates God is God's enemy, and God's wrath is still on them. But we were reconciled to him through the death of this little baby that grew up. To his son, and how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life. Now that's that transaction, that justification. It's called imputation or credited. When Jesus is on the cross, my stupid, horrible, sinful life is credited to him. He dies with it. His life that he lived without sin is credited to my account. So not only is all my sins forgiven, then Jesus' righteous life is credited to me. And God looks at me and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Whoa, but I'm a pathetic loser. Right, but you trusted in Jesus. Yay! That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And gospel means good news. Can you dig it? I can dig it. So, amen to that. Oh yeah, here's some good works. That's a picture of me, self-portrait.
You look good, Jeff.
Thank you, thank you. Michelle told me to take a shower. So, now, here's something else. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are pleading your case. Meaning this, Romans 8:33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who justifies? God does. Are you a lousy sinner? Yes. Good job. God justifies. God justifies. I fail. God justifies. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. See, this is the way this statement or sentence is written, is describing Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, raised to life. Tell your friends and neighbors who don't believe God, yeah, not only did Jesus exist, but when they killed him, remember Easter? He came back to life. Jesus came back to life. It's called the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive. And the kids and I were snuggled up watching the iPad a couple days ago, right? We watched the Miracle Maker. And what did Jesus do after he talked to his disciples? He went up. He flew up to heaven. That's how Jesus went back to heaven. All these people are around him, and he says, I will be with you always. And he took off. That's how it ends. Not ends. That's how it begins. That's the Jesus Christ that we're celebrating, the incarnation, his birthday. That's awesome. Now, What about all those folks who believe, oh no, I failed and I fell out of salvation and I'm not going to heaven anymore. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel. Gospel means good news. The good news of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And 1:14 says, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory? We fail, God wins. We fail, God wins. We're sealed. We can't lose. God wins. The Holy Spirit drives us forward despite us. That's awesome. That's supernatural powers. So all your friends who think they can lose their salvation, take them to Ephesians 1:14. That kind of seals the deal. The Holy Spirit does three things. Seals, sanctifies, and sends. It's our job to get back out there and tell people they don't have to go to hell. That's a pretty good benefit. So I just want to just mention about baby Jesus for a minute. Baby Jesus. First, Colossians 1:15 and 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Now keep in mind, this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. We are here today for Jesus Christ. People are having Christmas whether they like Jesus or not for Jesus Christ. This earth is here for Jesus Christ. And people better get that. They've got one lifetime to get that. In Colossians 1:19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The fullness of the Godhead, Trinity, is in that baby. What? That's crazy. Crazy awesome. And, oh yeah, so it goes on. And through him, once again, see this repetition, folks? To reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds. Oh, wait a minute, what's that? Once you were alienated from God and were what? Enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Remember, that's why God's wrath is coming. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. Physical body. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. He's the God-man. Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Did you get that? That's how God sees you. Holy in his sight. Holy in his sight. Because of the death of his son. Without blemish and free from accusation. Nobody can accuse you of sin. Nobody can say you're going to hell because God has saved you. It's the work of Christ. Isn't that amazing? No one can accuse you. I know too many folks in churches, unfortunately, they fall into sin, they struggle with a sin, that's going to happen, but the first thing they do is leave church. We're the last ones who have any authority to accuse you. Because we know better. Not even God's going to accuse you. Who are we? Come back and grow. That's what it's about. So I'm going to end with this. Here we go. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts and of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I highlighted these verses in yellow because that jumped out at me. This child is destined to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. Back to that Facebook story. Oh, man. One thing I mentioned to him, if you got a history book, and if you notice in history books, they're taking out B.C. and A.D. and they're replacing it with B.C.E. and C.E., before Common Era and Common Era. Because B.C. is before Christ, and, you know, A.D. is Adonai something something, the year of our Lord. Right? Got to get Jesus out of there, anything but Jesus, because that Jesus is a sign that will be spoken against. How did they know that 2,000 years ago we would be offended by Christ Mass? How did they know that? Because there's no other power to be saved. There's no other name under heaven given by which a man may be saved but through Jesus Christ. All the power, all the gospel is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The Old and New Testament, the most historically accurate book in all time, is all about Jesus Christ from beginning to end. We live and die and breathe for Jesus Christ. There's no other reason for our existence. This is why we were created for, is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just want to make sure it's clear. So how do we respond to this? Oh yeah, I just want to mention Hebrews 4:12. The cool thing about the Bible, the more you know, the more dangerous you are, because it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And isn't that what we saw here? The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You can say a lot of blah, blah, blah with your friends who don't believe in Jesus. Just put Jesus on the table. Put Jesus on the table. Forget all the philosophy and you should believe God because of this, that, or the other thing. Just put Jesus Christ on the table and watch them react. There you get to the real heart of the issue, whether they love or hate Jesus. And that's the reality of it. As C.S. Lewis says, you can't call Jesus a nice teacher. Either he's a liar, a lunatic, or worse, or he's telling the truth and he's God incarnate. But you can't just say, he's a good teacher. You can't do it because he claimed to be God. And he raised from the dead and kind of did a couple cool things to emphasize who he is. And in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7, says this. Says, for us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's the God we serve. That's who this baby is. That's what this baby represents, is God coming down to reconcile God to man and taking and finding a satisfactory sacrifice for God's wrath. So, how do we respond? Paul says it best. And this was what makes Christians. We need to be gospel-centered. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily because that's our motivation, because we fail all the time. I understand. Jesus is our goal. And it says this, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. We have to tell people, what else is there? Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. There's that pesky resurrection again. Jesus is alive. That should be your heart's motive. That should be your heart's cry. It's never enough, Jesus. How can we serve you more? How can we proclaim it with our lips? The gospel takes words. Think of all the times we didn't talk out of fear. Kill it. Mortify your flesh. It says in Acts chapter 2, 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So I'm going to ask that you all rise and we will be done. I want to read this verse together. Please rise with me. Stand. And it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Jesus, you are Lord, the incarnate one. We are yours. We belong to you. It is your words that we must proclaim to our friends and family that are lost, that they would kneel before you and accept you as their Savior and their Lord. Because if they leave this world, you will just be their Lord and under their wrath and under your wrath. Save them from hell. Use us as you see fit to proclaim the gospel on Christmas Day. In Jesus' holy name is the victory. Amen.